Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. It is the Friday, November 12th edition of the show. I'm Gary.
I'm Chris.
And of course, Chris on the phone. It is a weekday. You guys know how we do this by this point in the season. It is week 11. For college football, there are only 14 weeks in the college football regular season. 15 if you count Army Navy, 14 if you count conference championship, of course. So we got this week, and we got two more regular season before we get to conference championship games. And I'm pretty pumped. There's a lot going on in the world of college football. First thing that I always ask on a Friday, Chris, college game day, week 12, where are Felica and the Bunch going to go next week? Do you already have one off the top of your head, or you want me to give you options?
Yeah, give me a couple options, because I haven't even looked at the following week's schedule.
Okay, so here's what we got. We have got the Montana Grizzlies, and they are facing off against Montana State next week. Montana, of course, the FCS team that beat Washington earlier in the season. They have got hashtag Grizz on game day going on Twitter right now, and they are pumped about it. They want them coming up to Missoula, Montana. And if you have not seen that stadium, it is absolutely gorgeous. You can actually look out on Twitter at Montana Grizz FB. That's Grizz with one G. Or use the hashtag Grizz, G-R-I-Z, on game day and check that out. They call it the Mecca of FCS football. Rabid fan base. They actually sell more season tickets than Boise State, Washington State, Wyoming, Nevada, and Utah State. Kind of surprising. So I think that one could be a lot of fun. But if you don't want to go the FCS route, which they have not thus far this season, we got Michigan State, Ohio State, which very possible. After that, you fall off a tier a little bit. You got Iowa State at Oklahoma, Oregon at Utah, Arkansas at Alabama, and then if you want to drop even further, you've got UAB going to UTSA, who is still undefeated, and likely will be so next week because they are playing Southern Miss as a 33.5-point favorite this weekend. You feeling good about any of those? I'm going to guess Columbus, but that's not exactly what I would like.
No. I actually wouldn't go to Columbus. You've already been there, man. You know, I'm not. Listen, there are too many damn schools for you to be going places twice just to get to the best game of the weekend or whatever you think. Okay, so I'm not pro that. I do think that you should, you know, spend more time going to some of these lesser schools and boosting them up. I don't have anything against that, but. You know, I would probably do UTSA.
I would love it.
A, anytime you get an opportunity to tout UAB, it's a big deal. It's a good thing. This is a school that was a victim of losing their program due to some awful chicanery, terrible politics from the state of Alabama, from the University of Alabama, and they lost their program, and then they got it back. So anytime you can have them as a showcase, that's great. What the Roadrunners are doing is unbelievable. This not one of those resumes chock full of just nobody. You know, they've came into the American and they've beaten some teams. They've gone into the MAC and in the Sun Belt and conferences that are bigger than them, places that are supposed to be better than them, and they've rolled off with victories every time they turned around. I would be perfectly acceptable of you going there, and I think that is the right choice.
I tend to agree. I would like for them to go to UTSA. I'm also okay with them going the FCS route and going to Montana because it is gorgeous up there. But also, I mean, my third option here, I don't even know that Ohio State, excuse me, and Michigan State would be my third option. I think maybe Utah hosting Oregon might be my third option. I don't know that they want to do that.
No,
as far as,
why do you need three options? If you know one of them is the right answer.
Oh, I'm just talking about for us. I don't know about them. Like I did.
Well, I don't. I don't work that way, right? Like I'm not just going to give you a terrible option just so we have three to choose from and debate from. That sounds like an awful idea.
True, very true. But I will say this: the alliance, of course, between. And we're going to talk here in just a minute about the new CFP 12-team proposal. Everything seems to be coming up rosy for the alliance between the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the ACC for whatever reason. So we'll talk about that. But yeah, I would go UTSA or Montana in this spot. I would not touch any of these other ones. Either one of those would be perfectly fine. Showcase a new place that you have not been. That's what I would like to do. Moving on from there. Do we want to spend any time talking about the CFP reaction? Do you have any thoughts on ranking Michigan over Michigan State?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts about it, but I don't know that it's worth talking about. I don't know that anybody wants to hear it.
That's kind of where I am.
The people that put this on, all this is going to be is continual pressing of the fact that the people that put this on, they're not just ignorant, okay? They're not just bad at their job, right? These people are terrible people, okay? This is Dan Wetzel spun this the absolute correct way, and I don't know why I didn't think about it yet, and I'm glad that he talked about this. He talked about it a couple weeks ago. I don't know that he did it this week or not on the Yahoo College podcast, but it was basically, look at who created this playoff. Look at who created it. It's people, politics. Politicians created this thing. What have politicians done to our country? All they've done is narrowed us down to our lowest common denominator, put everybody in camps, and get everybody screaming at one another and hating each other. That's all they've done over the last, I don't know, 20 years that I've been alive. I can't really speak to much that happened before, you know, the first, you know, whatever years before that. I was just a child and I was oblivious to everything. We let those sons of bitches create the playoff. We let them show us how to make this thing and how to do it. And amazingly, it's done exactly what it's supposed to do. It has put people in camps. It gets people screaming and hollering, and nobody looks or cares about the end result because they're so angry by the time you got there, they're just glad it's over.
Well, everybody did seem to think, for whatever reason, that all of the yelling and whatnot would actually be good for the sport, right? The
nobody thought. No, Gary, you thought that, and a bunch of people that run college football thought that.
No.
We had those conversations.
No, hold on.
And
I told
you over and over and over and over again that is not good for your sport.
The politicians that put this together believed that that was going to be good for the sport, right? And I think ESPN bought into that, right? The whole "who's in" thing all the time, all of the conversations surrounding it, they thought would help drive interest in the product, and it turns out it has actually driven down interest in the product. Now, if you look at TV ratings and whatnot, obviously those are back up this season.
Why would the people who bought into that buy into that? Because political things have gone up? No. The number of people that show up to vote when they bought into this, especially, is lower than it's ever been. Nobody, like, why would you listen to these people?
True. I'm with you. I'm 100% with you.
They're all corrupt. They're all immoral. The world's a better place when they're all gone.
This kind of takes us into the next topic, which I'm just going to make them roll right into each other. They have been having meetings, of course. The CFP 12-team playoff committee, the CFP committee that puts this whole thing together. You remember they came out with a 12-team plan, and it was going to be the six highest-ranked conference champions, not a 5+1 or whatever else, right? The 8-teamer is off the table, so we don't have to worry about that one anymore. The 12-team is back on the table. However, it looks like the most likely option as of today, as reported by Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated, is we are going to have all of the Power 5 conferences as automatic qualifiers, and one, the highest G5 conference, as another automatic qualifier. So you're going to have six, and that's what it would be in most seasons. But as we saw last year, Oregon, as a Pac-12 champion, would not have been in the playoff, at least not automatically. I do not like this. They caved to the P5 bunch again. And how that is going to be tossed in here with the Big 12 losing Oklahoma and Texas, I am kind of shocked at this. I don't know why they would agree to this unless they just really could not get anybody on board with doing the top six. I just don't understand why they would do this. You got a thought on it?
Well, yeah, they're all corrupt because the people that are going to be left in the Big 12 feel like they're butt hurt, and they want to still have power, and they've hitched on to this alliance with these two other conferences, one of which is a dying, you know, star as well, and so they want to run things. They're all afraid because the ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12 all need to be very, very careful because the American and the Mountain West are just below them. And I don't even think they're below them, by the way. I absolutely don't.
I think that actually has a lot to do with this, right? I think the Pac-12 and the Big 12 realize that the AAC and the Mountain West are both really, really good. And in
any
year,
don't leave the ACC out of this, Gary. Don't leave them out of this. They're just
they're just as bad. They're pretty bad this year.
Because they're worse. Yeah. They're worse than those other conferences right now.
No, you're 100% right about that. You're 100% right.
I think the Pac-12 is substantially better than the ACC this year.
Yes. Yes, I tend to agree with that. The ACC is pretty bad. If it were not for... Now, I will say that there is some fun football going on, but there's no consistency. There's no great programs. Clemson, I would imagine, will bounce back eventually. And you've got teams that are building, but they're not good this year. But that's the thing. They don't want a down season to cost them a playoff spot. So we did have an 8-5 Wisconsin when the Big 12 or Big 10, excuse me, 8, 9, 10 years ago, somewhere around there. I mean, Bielema was still the coach for them. But that's what we would have in this situation. You will have a 4 or 5 loss team at some point make the playoff. It's a bit of a joke, but also,
I'm okay with them making the playoff. Here's the thing. If we're going to do that, then let's let all the conference championships just get in.
Right. Let's just make it 16.
Yeah.
I'd be totally fine with that. And in some years,
because then you're only talking about 10 spots, and then you got six at large spots.
Yeah, and one of them will most likely be taken by Notre Dame most seasons. So you got 5 other at larges because Notre Dame not being in a conference would actually cost them quite a bit in this spot. So we'll see. We'll see. I found it very. Very interesting. Very interesting to say the least. Let's dive into this topic. I have to get your opinion on this because the message boards went bananas. And apparently there was a lot of talk in Oklahoma's bye week about Lincoln Riley's representatives discussing the LSU job last week. And now there are reports that he is the leader in the clubhouse. I was a little bit shocked about this, and you never know what reports to believe, especially in a coaching search like this. Everybody's got somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. Lincoln Riley to LSU. We've talked about it before. I want to hear your opinion on, one, if there's any truth to this, and two, how would you feel?
So the only way this came out, I'm in tune to all of these things, was a private jet, a chartered plane, not LSU's plane, a private plane, flew from Baton Rouge to
Norman.
To Norman, Texas. To Norman, Oklahoma. Sorry. And that's it. That's what all of this is spinning from. Heaven to Betsy that it be some, you know, rich guy that's going on a hunting trip. Okay. Like, do you think Lincoln Riley, who's getting ready for probably the biggest game of the year right now, after Texas with Baylor and coming up, that he's interviewing for another job?
I doubt it. I sincerely doubt it.
So here's what I know from the LSU people I follow. Okay, now this is what I know, and they don't make a lot of bold acclamations, and they don't make a lot of, you know, big charges or whatever, but they just tell you what they know. Okay. And I know for a fact that Woodward has narrowed this thing down to where he really just wants Jimbo. He is trying really hard to sell that to a bunch of boosters that are pissed off at Jimbo from the last negotiations with him. Okay. So you've got a couple of rich guys that have run things for a long time at LSU that do not want him because of the way they feel they were treated in the past. All right. But Woodward is basically all in on Jimbo. That's what he wants.
Interesting.
Now, if he can't have Jimbo, his other swing for the fence person right now is being talked about as Lincoln Riley, but nobody actually thinks that's going to happen. I've talked to very few people that are actually in the know that think the Lincoln Riley thing is happening, and half of them don't want it to happen. Because the person that will be the coach if Jimbo doesn't take it, everyone has unanimously said that I listen to, is it's going to be Mel Tucker.
Interesting. I love Mel Tucker. I think that'd be a fantastic hire.
I do too. No, that's not that, you know how much I feel about Jimbo, and I made that clear. I would love for Jimbo to be my coach. I would love for Jimbo to be my coach. But with that being said, if I don't get Jimbo, and I never thought Jimbo was going to be an option because I know the boosters that he pissed off. And I will tell you this, if we hire Jimbo, I will tell you that the boosters definitely do not run things in Baton Rouge. Okay? Because that is just one of those strange things where Woodward is just basically going to call their bluff and say, are you going to hate this place? Are you two going to shake hands when he gets here and we're going to figure this thing out? And you're still going to love your school. Like, is your pride that deep?
I like it. I mean,
But Mel Tucker's the answer. I think this is all, that whole message board is brought up because a charter plane flew from Baton Rouge to Norman last week. That's it. That's where we spun this whole thing from that to this.
That's interesting. I did not know the full details.
It wasn't an LSU plane, by the way. It wasn't the school plane.
It's just a private plane.
It was just a private plane. Flew from Baton Rouge to Norman.
I mean, really, they could have gone from New Orleans to Norman.
Or New Orleans. I don't know where it came from.
No, that's what I'm saying. They could have gone from anywhere. Like, those boosters are not just located in Baton Rouge. That's But I did see all the chatter, and of course,
It wouldn't have been a booster, though. They're assuming it was Woodward. But the thing is we're at the stage right now where you're not having face-to-face meetings. You're still talking to agents, okay? Yes. So there'd be no reason to go have personal contact with somebody yet.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree.
I do think this, though. Here's the deal. I do think if Alabama loses, Texas A&M wins out, I think that takes Jimbo off the table because we will have a coach championship weekend.
I tend to agree. But that also takes Lincoln Riley off the table, and I don't think anybody believes it.
I don't think Lincoln Riley matters. He's not the option. This is a message board, you know, bullshit. That's all that is.
Oh, yeah. No. But the Mel Tucker thing, if they end up beating Ohio State next week,
It doesn't matter what Mel Tucker does. Mel Tucker could lose to Ohio State. He can lose to Penn State. It does not matter.
No, agreed.
I think Mel Tucker is going to be the coach of LSU.
I'm saying if they win those two, they will be in the Big Ten title game. So
doesn't matter. He's still going to take the job.
Yeah, probably so. I think that makes perfect sense.
He's still going to take the job, Gary.
Makes it perfect. If offered, he will be the next head coach, and Very quickly, UConn hired Jim Mora Jr., and the questions surrounding this are why from both sides. Jim Mora, of course, coached at UCLA, and I believe he was 46-30 as the head coach there. coached a bunch of Pro Football Hall of Fame guys. Of course, he was a coach in the NFL as well. You know, the joke, of course, is Brock Heward, who used to play at Washington. Everybody knew that Jim Mora Jr. wanted to be the head coach of the Washington Huskies for a very long time. So, of course, he tweeted out, well, it looks like Jim actually gets to coach the Huskies, finally. This is, I don't really get it from both sides, but I will say this. You are not going to find a more accomplished coach than Jim Mora to be the head coach at UConn, I do not believe. I think that this
worked
out.
Why do you not get it from UConn's side?
From UConn's side,
else are they going to go get?
Well, that's the thing. If I'm looking at it, spinning it positively, exactly what I just said, right? You're not going to get a more accomplished guy than this. But also, this is a retread, and this is a guy that failed at his last however many stops. You know, can he build a good enough foundation for whoever comes after him? I mean, he's still relatively young. He could be there for a long time. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I think it's perfectly fine, but I'm not passionate one way or the other. How about you?
Well, I think it's a home run hire for UConn. I don't know why Jim Mora did it, but I can't understand how this is not a home run for UConn. Who the hell else is going there, Gary? Like, true. Okay, not a retread. What young up-and-comer is saying, I'll take that UConn job?
That's the biggest thing, right? There's no foundation built there. There's no nothing. This is like,
they have no conference. They have no stability whatsoever. They don't have any ties to big boosters. And you're not getting the elite players of the Northeast to come play for you. That's just not happening.
Well, and you're not going to be able to get those young guys that could just take this as like a massive, massive payday because it does not pay as well as some of the other dregs jobs, right? Like this is not I hit the jackpot kind of job.
That's why when you were saying you don't understand it from both sides. Like, no, I don't understand it from Jim's side, but I completely get it from UConn's side. Nobody the caliber of Jim Mora is picking up the phone and calling them.
I tend to agree. Mora had
and
a
you talked
good...
about failure at the last two spots. His last two spots, the level of success was winning the Pac-12 and winning a Super Bowl.
True.
Here, if he just wins four games, that'll be the greatest season they've had in a decade.
That is true. That is very, very true. You are not wrong about
that. So success and failure are measured on not like they're not the same stick for everyone.
No, you're not wrong about that. You are not wrong about that at all. It is going to be interesting to see Jim Mora back on the sidelines. He used to get into it on those, you know, post game shows and whatnot on ESPN and on Fox and whatever else. So we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. I'm kind of excited about it. Moving on from there, we are going to hit our Week 11 preview right quick. Every week, I ask Chris four questions about the upcoming weekend. This weekend, Chris, I would like to know what you think the best games on the board are going to be this weekend. What's going to be the most exciting to watch?
I mean, I think game day nailed it. I think the game at Ole Miss, I actually have a free ticket offered to me right now. And I don't know that I can make it, which really makes me sick to my stomach. But I think that's going to be the most exciting game. I think you have two offensive-minded coaches. You have two quarterbacks that have definitely come into their own in Calzada, and the other one, Matt Corral, who's definitively, I think, the best quarterback in college football. So, you know, I think there's going to be some points. I think this game's going to be a lot of fun.
I do have that written down as one of my options. I think Michigan-Penn State could be a lot of fun. It's going to be very Big Ten-y. This game could be in the teens. I really don't expect either team to run away with this thing. So I expect it to be incredibly close in Happy Valley on Saturday morning. Oklahoma-Baylor, I think, could be a lot of fun. But I do wonder exactly how much losing Joey McGuire hurt your team if you're Baylor. He was very much a culture guy, and that relationship, like, it may not mean anything for the X's and O's, but I do wonder what it means for momentum for the program. So I think that there's a chance that Oklahoma can end up kind of running away with this thing.
That doesn't make any sense, Gary. It just doesn't make any sense. How on earth is a culture – that guy is going to hurt you in recruiting. It's going to hurt you later in life. But that guy does nothing on that team at all. He was the defensive coordinator. No. That's Dave Aranda's defense. They're right.
No, he was the outside linebackers coach.
Whatever. But he's a defensive guy that called nothing. Nothing is going to be affected at all for missing him this week.
Okay.
He's a non-factor. The culture stuff is already in place. You don't lose culture over 1 week.
True. I'm just talking about maybe it has no effect on the game. Maybe there are other
reasons. We're talking about this week, right?
Yeah, no.
This week.
100%.
We're talking about 2 days from now.
I also think that it could just be that Oklahoma is using this. I mean, they are coming off of a bye week. Oklahoma could absolutely run this team. And it have nothing to do with McGuire or anything else.
That's right. Then it has nothing to do with your argument for why.
Right. I'm throwing out stuff that...
That's the aneurysm going on in my brain right now.
I'm just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if it'll stick, man. There are stuff...
Well, it didn't stick.
It, that one most certainly
Purdue,
did not.
Purdue-Ohio State's going to be an awesome game also.
I had that one as my next one as far as the... So, do you want to talk about that for a second? I'm very curious about this one. The line, I made the line 15, and it came out like 19 and a half and then jumped up to 20, and it's like still sitting at 20. I think there's a couple of 21s out there. I'm very curious. Very curious about this. So I'm staying away from it, obviously, as an official play. Like, I would take Purdue here. Like, my numbers say to take Purdue. But I think there's a few things that Ohio State...
I'm about as balls deep into it as you can be.
That line doesn't stink, though.
Hell no.
I mean, as bad as Ohio State's
been playing... You know what stinks? Ohio State's secondary.
No, you got that right. David Bell should have a field day.
That stinks like a dead-ass skunk.
Whew. I worry. I worry, you know? It just, there's something off on that line. It terrifies me.
Gary, money don't make money, Gary. You worry.
The other game I got
real things to worry about.
The other thing, the other game that I have for best game of the weekend, Nevada going to San Diego State. I think that one could be a lot of fun. San Diego State's a 3-point
favorite.
It could
be okay. We haven't, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm going to tell you the best game of the weekend. Because there's zero chance for it to be a dud.
Okay.
Zero chance. NC State, Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Wake Forest is dropping 50, and we're going to see, can NC State hang?
You think Wake Forest will score 50 on that defense?
Wake Forest has scored 50 almost every weekend, Gary. Yeah, I think they're going to score 50. I made this statement about 4 weeks ago. Wake Forest is scoring 50 every week for the rest of the season. If you can score 50, you can keep up. You can beat them. If you can't, you ain't. That's it. North Carolina scored 58. They won. That's it. If you don't score 50, you can't win, which means you take every over there is because no books on the planet have the balls to put a triple-digit over out there. They don't have it. I've been raking in tickets on Wake Forest over. Team totals. It's just the whole damn thing.
I do
if
like
the other
it.
Team doesn't score, Wake scores 70, and it's fine. He's still busting.
Yeah, okay. I can get down with it. Most to gain this weekend, I've got Baylor written down, and I've got winner of A&M and Ole Miss written down.
I don't know that Ole Miss has a lot to gain. What do they have to gain?
I mean, this is a big program builder.
Program builder, you know, all right.
Like as far as – but also it keeps them in the SEC title hunt. Is it out of the realm of possibilities that Alabama loses to Arkansas and Auburn? Like, I don't think so.
Yeah. But then they need Auburn. Then they would need Auburn to lose another game. See, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Auburn doesn't – the math doesn't work out. They cannot – I don't think they can win it at all. Because I think in order for you to lose it, Arkansas takes it.
Yeah, okay. You got a point there.
Math works.
That's interesting.
So for A&M, every week is big. Yeah, I would tell you a game where this big, and I don't think they can win the game, but I don't think it matters. I think a team can absolutely be the winner of the weekend if Tennessee can play a big boy game against Georgia and put a scare in Georgia and show some crack in what has been the most dominant team of the season, by far, by the way. I think that goes a long way with people looking at Tennessee saying, whoa, look out for the future.
That is one of those program builders.
And that program will be big, even in a loss.
I can get down with it. It's a very much the Ole Miss thing, right? Like, it may not mean anything as far as the outcome of the actual season, but
I think Ole Miss has passed. I think Ole Miss has passed moral victories. When you've had the season that they've had this year, moral victories does nothing to them.
Yeah, okay. I can get down with that. Let's see. As far as most to lose, I think I would put this team on most to gain or most to lose. South Carolina is sitting at 5 wins on the season. They are now in a pick'em game with Missouri, and they win this, they're going to a bowl game in Shane Beamer's first year. I feel like you almost have to get it done this week, because next week they got Auburn, and the week after that they got Clemson. Now, they could certainly beat any of those teams if that team doesn't show up. They get both of them at home. But if you want your best shot to win a game, I think it's got to be against Missouri. So this team is most to gain and most to lose, because if you want to go bowling, you better get this and done.
The team that have most to lose, I think, is pretty clear cut, and that is Ohio State.
Okay.
If they win out, they go. But if they lose because they lost to Oregon, if they lose at all, they're done.
Yeah, I mean, this is
a game where they can absolutely get got.
Yeah, a loss to Purdue does nothing to their Big Ten hopes, right? You beat Michigan State, you beat Michigan the next 2 weeks, you end up winning the Big Ten East, and then you're going and facing probably Wisconsin.
Is that done? Wait a minute, is that done? Even if they lose to Purdue, I guess that would only give them one. One conference loss.
Yep. So,
but it takes them out of the national championship race, though.
Exactly, it certainly does. It certainly does. And I think that's what they are most interested in, that. Like, this team, the goal is not the Big Ten. The goal is
I didn't realize that they still win the Big Ten, but I forgot that Oregon game doesn't count against their conference.
Yep, sure enough. Playoff sleeper this week. I'm going to actually start bringing up Oklahoma State here. They got TCU, they got Texas Tech left, and then you've got Oklahoma to close out the season, and then probably a rematch with Oklahoma, but obviously...
No, don't be penciling that shit in.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If Oklahoma loses to Baylor...
But they would have to lose to Baylor, and Baylor would have to win out.
Okay. But look at Baylor's schedule going up, finishing up. They would not win out if they beat Oklahoma.
I mean, they certainly could.
Oklahoma's in a dogfight against Kansas. You're going to give them the nod over Baylor?
And Oklahoma's still got Iowa State left. So, yeah. I mean, Oklahoma is favored this weekend. Like, the most likely projections would have...
I'm tired of hearing people talk about, well, this team's favored, and that's why we have to do this stuff. Because that's the justification. That's the only justification for Bama being number two in the country. Well, they'd be a 14-point favorite over Cincinnati, so we have to have them favored. You know what? We've bet this game long enough to know that what numbers a book gives somebody is completely irrelevant to the outcome of the game.
This is true. And the outcome has to matter. Like, it has to. Like, we've talked about this multiple times.
I'm so tired of that argument.
And now, at the same time, I am just talking about the most likely. Oklahoma has not lost yet. They've still got Baylor, Iowa State, and Oklahoma State left. They would have to lose two of those. And the way that they've been playing with Caleb Williams, like, I think they're still a really good football team.
You're talking about the hyperbole that if they win out, or if they get, sorry, if Oklahoma State beats them, then Oklahoma State would just meet them. And so you're just assuming they win this week, because that means if they lose this week and Oklahoma State beats them, that's the two losses.
Right, that's two losses. That would be a win over.
And then they would lose the tiebreaker against those two teams.
Let's see, Baylor.
In your hypothetical,
Baylor has. Let's see. Hold on, Kansas State and Texas Tech. So no, I know where you're coming from. Like, I get where you're coming from.
I don't think you do, but that's we can move on. It's fine. There are no more sleepers anymore, because we know what everybody is now. You can't have a sleeper at the end of the year. We got 2 weeks left of college football. Like, how do we have a sleeper with 2 weeks to go?
Well, I mean, they're ranked number 10. Oklahoma State is. So I think it would shock some people for them to actually jump up and take one of those spots. But
it would only shock them because it would take a massive amount of chaos for that to happen.
Yeah.
The chaos would shock people, not seeing the number 10 jump up to number 4.
Yeah,
that's not
okay.
What shocks people.
Okay, that would totally make sense. That would make sense. I have not done the rundown yet. Go to winningcureseverything.com. Everything you need to know about us, you can find over there. Make sure and check out Chris's Sportsbook Review College Football Show. You can find it on Twitter at SBR Sports Picks. You can also find me on the BetUS College Football Show. There is a link in the description to both of those. So go and click on that link and make sure that you go where you need to go. On top of that, the show is brought to you by BetUS, where the game begins. They are America's top sports book. You can find it over at BetUS.com. Use the promo code NCAAF2021, and you will get 125% sign-up bonus up to $2,500, and it is sportsbook exclusive. So you can bet on just football. You don't have to go to the online casino, whatever else. It is only for gambling on sports, and there's a lot going on right now. College basketball, NBA, NFL is rolling, UFC, I can name them for days. There's a ton of sports that you can bet on using that bonus there. So go over to BetUS.com and sign up using that, or just click the link down below. Want to send out some prayers to Cecil Hurt. He is currently in the hospital dealing with pneumonia. It's not COVID. It is pneumonia. So for anybody that listens to us, he's been on the show with us multiple times. One of my friends as well. But yes, he's dealing with it right now, going through some stuff, and is still in the hospital. He is not covering Alabama currently because of that. So you have not seen much Twitter activity or anything else, hadn't read any bylines from him, and that would be the reason why. So hopefully he heals up and he can get back in plenty of time to watch the end of the season. We'll see what happens with that, but definitely prayers with Cecil.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The college football off the radar pick'em. We are going to do this for week 11. Last week, I went 6-6. Chris went 5-7. On the season, I am 52-55. Chris is 44-63. Let's see. Oh, so what? Did those numbers add up? That doesn't seem right. No, it adds up. Okay, we're good. Never mind. Let's start off game number one. Game number one, we are going to Auburn, Alabama. Mississippi State is taking on the Tigers, and Auburn is a 5.5-point favorite, total of 50. Odds, of course, brought to you by BetUS. Last year, Auburn won this game 24-10. State is 5-1 against the spread of their last six on the road. Auburn 5-1 straight up their last six against Mississippi State, and they are 4-1 against the spread in the last five against State. So when you look at this matchup, I think State gave everything they had last week. It is very difficult to go on the road and do it two times in a row. I think Auburn gets up off the mat after going to College Station. Weird stuff happens in Jordan-Hare, even in the early games. I like Auburn here. I like Auburn minus 5.5. I think they are still a really good football team. State, every now and then, has those clunkers that you just don't understand from them. It all depends on whether or not Will Rogers is having a good game, and he is a fantastic quarterback. But if he is not hitting on all cylinders, that team has no shot. So I'm going to take Auburn to cover the 5.5. I think they could do that even if Will Rogers plays really well. What you got on this one?
Yeah, I like Auburn. I think Auburn needs one little bit of help and A&M to slip and fall somewhere. And if they do, then Auburn still controls their destiny. So of winning the SEC West and making it to Atlanta. So I'm going to pick them. I think they get back to their winning ways. And I think they're a really good team. This year, there were two guys the entire country was just dead wrong on. I was wrong on one of them, Brian Harsin and Heupel.
Yeah, those two, and I'll toss in a player there, Bo Nix. I mean, he didn't play well last week.
Bo Nix.
But
that's right. No, that's Bo Nix is, that defense just did exactly what we thought they would do, right? Stop him from running 75 yards left and right and keep him in a pocket, make him throw the football, and you can beat him. But I don't know that there are many defenses outside of Georgia in the SEC or in the rest of the country that actually have the ability to do that.
Yeah, I think A&M and Georgia are the two best defenses.
I don't think the defense has the ability. I think he will be running back and forth, making wild-ass plays on the plane, just like he did against LSU, just like he did against Ole Miss, just like he did against Arkansas, just pulling a rabbit out of his hat. This is what this guy does.
I tend to agree. Moving on to the ACC now, Syracuse at Louisville is the next one up. It's a 12 p.m. Eastern time game. Louisville, a three-point favorite, 55.5 is the total here. And the Cuse, 5-0 against the spread in their last five, 6-1 against the spread their last seven on the road. Louisville, 5-0 against the spread their last five against Syracuse. However, that stretches out not over the last, five seasons. When I look at this, and I look at that Louisville team, I don't know how much is left in the tank with Louisville. Syracuse looks really good right now. I'm going to side with Dino. I'm going to do the Dino drop here and absolutely take Syracuse to win this game outright. So if I'm catching three, I'm certainly going to take that because I think Syracuse is the better overall football team. Their defense has really showed up lately. I like them. I like them a lot. So I'm going to roll with Syracuse.
I don't know why something has happened this year where I have just fallen in love with Louisville and I can't quit them. I don't know that I've won a bet on them in a long, long time, but I like watching them play. I haven't seen a player. I mean, I'm not saying this because he's playing at the same school and he plays the same position and he looks like him. I haven't seen a player that kind of captivated me the way Cunningham has since Lamar. I really haven't. Like, I don't have any ties to Louisville. I don't have any reason to have an
emotional attachment to him
one way or the other from them. But I just love watching this kid play football, man. I watch him carry this team, and I kind of see these other guys following him, and they're trying. I just don't think they have the talent, but they got the talent to hang with Syracuse. Okay, they're more talented than Syracuse, in my opinion. I think they're the better team. I love Dino. I'm riding with Louisville. I would say ride or tussie butcher. You don't ride at all. Hell, she doesn't nothing but butcher. maybe she'll let me ride a little bit here.
I like it. All right, so you are going to ride Louisville minus the three. I've got the Cuse. Next game on the board here, we have got an AAC game. And that AAC game would be 12 p.m. Eastern time, UCF at SMU. And I don't quite understand it, but SMU is a 7-point favorite, total of 60.5. UCF 5-0 straight up their last five against SMU. SMU 5-0 against the spread their last five at home. You start digging into some of these numbers. Yeah, if you just want to take the full season, then okay. And I understand that that's where the majority of these lines come from.
Hang on.
Go ahead.
Hang on. Wait a minute. you're okay with looking back years, but you're not okay with looking at the season that we're in right now. You like roll your eyes at that. Well, okay, I guess if you want to look at what we've done this year, then I guess it makes sense. But
what happened
when Grandpa played and SMU was there? Like, what are we talking about? Have we lost our minds?
This is my brain is all over the place on these games. Okay,
yeah,
because
that's an understatement.
I look at these trends, and you can see these trends, right? I mean, it follows across the board. Because you see teams like West Virginia that can never beat Oklahoma State for whatever reason, but they seem to always beat TCU. I mean, you start looking back at these certain trends, right? UCF being a five, like beating this team five straight times, and now they are a 7-point dog. I get it, right? I understand, because if you look at the full season for UCF, but you don't take into account the fact that they lost their quarterback after week two or three or whatever it was, and then Mikey Keene was pretty bad.
Why would we take that into account, Gary? Why would we? Huh?
Right. Hold on. Right? Here's what I'm getting at, right? Because I've started, and I'm doing better this season because I've started looking more at a trend over the last three games as opposed to a full season. Because as we know, college football is a living organism. It continues to evolve. Teams can improve throughout the season. SMU, over the last couple of weeks, has looked really bad. Really bad. And I don't know if that has anything to do with Sonny Dykes and the TCU talk, or his contract talk, or whatever, or if SMU was just selling us a bill of goods early in the season. I don't know what happened. So I do wonder here, because I think UCF's pretty good. Like, Mikey Keene has figured this thing out with Gus Malzahn's offense. I think we're going to see some points. I think we're going to see a lot of fun plays here. I'm going to take UCF plus the 7 here. I don't know that they'll win the game outright, but if you give me a head start with a team that I think is just as good as the other one, yeah, give me the Knights.
That's fine. Look, we're going to go the same way. We
just took a different path to get there.
No, that's an understatement. What you took is not a path, sir. What you took is not a path. I can't explain it. But
I went off road with a golf cart.
I'll take the point.
Okay.
I'll take the point, and that's it.
Okay, I can understand. Let's move to the ACC again. Boston College, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Boston College headed to Georgia Tech, and the Ramblin' Wreck are a 2-point favorite. 54.5 is the total. Last season, BC won this game 48-27. Phil Jurkovic, or however you want to say his name, I believe it's Jurkovic. He is back. He did not look great last week against Virginia Tech. However, that did build up Boston College quite a bit. They stopped Virginia Tech, held them to only 3 points. Now, obviously, Braxton Burmeister went out in that game. That certainly hurt. BC 3-6 against the spread, their last 9 games on the road, so they don't play well on the road. But Jurkovic has been out for a long period of time here. So Georgia Tech 4-5 against the spread at home over the last 2 seasons. They are 1-3 in that role this season. When I look at these numbers on this team, or on these teams this year, Georgia Tech has, I mean, they're really bad on defense as far as overall consistency goes. This is a highly, highly volatile team. I think BC got a little excitement about them. The program feeling good because they got Phil back at quarterback. I'm going to trust the more consistent team here. I'm going to take Boston College plus the 2, partly because I don't know why Georgia Tech would be favored over anybody with as bad as their numbers have been. They are number 113 in offensive success rate and number 113 in defensive success rate. They're not really good on either side of the ball, but they can jump up and bite you if you're not paying attention. I think BC is going to be paying attention, so I'll take the Eagles.
Yeah, we're going the same way here on this one. I think Boston College is a better football team. I think they're the better coach team. I think they have more talent. I think they'll have a better quarterback. Everything in which I think is important to winning football games, every one of those edges goes to BC.
I tend to like it. So both rolling Boston College. We've only picked one different so far. Let's move over to another ACC game. Miami headed to Tallahassee to take on Florida State. And Florida State, a 2.5-point home dog. 60.5 is the total. Miami 6-1 against the spread their last 7 in Tallahassee. They are 3-1 against the spread in the last four against Florida State. They have won four straight outright. Look, you want to look at numbers? Since Tyler Van Dyke came in at quarterback for Miami, they are the number 3 overall efficiency offense in the country. They have been unbelievable. Now, had a couple of turnovers, make things look a little wonky against Georgia Tech last week, but you start looking at yardage numbers and everything else, they dominated the stat sheet against Georgia Tech. They should have won by more last week. But I really like Miami. Florida State has not seen anything like this other than, like, Wake Forest. I'm going to take Miami minus the 2.5 and feel really good about it because I feel like this line probably should have been 7.
Oh, this is one where everything in me says Miami's the right pick here. But I think Norvell's getting things going right. I think they're going to win a marquee game. It's either going to be this – to kind of give them some momentum going into next year. It's either going to be this game or the Florida game. You know, I guess everything in me says it should be the Florida game and not here. But I'm gonna take Norvell and the boys.
I can understand that. I mean, it's not like Florida State's been bad. And they should have Jordan Travis back this week. You know, obviously – They've looked much better.
They haven't looked anywhere as close to as good as Miami's looked the last couple of games since making the quarterback change, but they've looked much, much better.
Between last the two teams, Florida State and Florida, both of them had guys out with the flu last week, and Florida State still put up a fight against NC State. Like they were still in that ball game until late, and Florida was just never in the game against South Carolina. Like you could tell which team was fighting for their coach and which wasn't. So Florida State still got some fight in them. So you're going to take the Noles at plus 2.5. I'm taking Miami minus the 2.5. Let's move on. 7 p.m. Eastern time. We have got Arizona State and Washington. Of course, Jimmy Lake is suspended. The offense coordinator, John Donovan, fired after last week. Washington is a 5.5-point dog at home. 45.5 is the total. Arizona State, this is a team that has been very difficult to figure out this season. Yeah, you just go based on numbers overall on the season. Arizona State is the easy play. And when you toss it in with some of these trends, it's certainly an easy play for me. Arizona State 5-0 against the spread of their last five in Seattle and 5-0 against the spread against Washington overall. They handle Washington. I love the numbers here. I mean, everything points to this being Arizona State by more than a touchdown. I think they take advantage of the situation. So I'm going to roll with Arizona State here.
Man, we're going to agree again. Yeah, I think the same thing. I do not like this Washington team. I haven't liked them all year. There's a world where Jimmy Lake not being their coach makes them better at football because I don't think he's a very good coach. But I don't know. I just don't think they have a whole lot to offer. And the only reason I would even come close to considering Washington is because the drunken path that Arizona State has played through this season.
Exactly.
That's it.
Like you're betting on chaos.
But this is one of those things where, if you're betting on Washington, you're just betting on chaos. That's exactly right. You're just hoping for the unexpected to happen.
And here's the one thing that I don't think that you can fix this late in the season. Washington against the run at number 115 in EPA per rush, and they are number 112 in defensive success rate against the run. Arizona State is number 8 in EPA per rush on offense, and rushing the ball on offense, they are number 3 in success rate. Like, they know how to run the ball. Washington cannot stop it. I don't foresee them stopping it in this game. So, Arizona State minus 5.5 is the pick for both of us. Let's move to the SEC, and we are going to roll Arkansas at LSU. The Tigers are a 2.5-point dog at home, total of 59. Arkansas 6-2 against the spread in their last 8 games. LSU, however, 5-0 straight up against Arkansas in the last 5. I have got a weird feeling about this because if you look at numbers overall on the season, obviously you would go with Arkansas here. But LSU showed some fight last week. Coach O said they installed like 8 new defensive looks last week. They did some different things on offense. I like what they're doing. They've got some fight left. Those upperclassmen that are left on the team have some fight. I think they're sick of losing. They're getting this one at home. I think they're going to beat Arkansas. So I'm going to take LSU plus the 2.5. I think LSU's still a good team. They've got more talent left on the team than Arkansas does right now. Arkansas is good, but I think LSU beats them.
Yeah, I agree with that. Everything you said, I think Arkansas is really good. I think they're going to come ready. I think they're going to come prepared. But I think LSU cares about this game, and they got a lot of pride in them. And they're going to fight like hell. It's going to be hard to beat them in Death Valley.
It's a night game.
It's still really hard to win games in Death Valley.
You are not wrong about that. Next game on the docket, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. NC State heads to Wake Forest. It's an ACC network game because, of course, it is. NC State won this one last year 45-42. And Wake Forest 11-1 against the spread the last 12 at home against NC State. Of course, that goes back two decades. I mean, forever. It's a long time. Before 2020, Wake was 3-0 against the spread and straight up against NC State. Before that, you start diving into numbers, and you have a really fascinating matchup between Wake's offense and NC State's defense. NC State's defense is awesome. They are number 4 in the country in defensive success rate. You look over at Wake Forest, I mean, number 5 in offensive EPA per play margin. There's a lot to like about this game to figure out who will be able to implement their game plan better. I am going to lean Wake Forest here because I think that at home, especially coming off of their first loss of the season, I think that they are going to be able to outscore NC State because I don't think NC State's offense is bad, but I also don't think that they'll be able to keep up in this spot, even with their defense slowing down Wake Forest a little bit. So I'll take Wake minus 2.
Well, I let the cat out of the bag on this one earlier when I said this is going to be the most exciting game of the weekend. Wake's scoring 50 every week from now until the end of the season. Nobody in that schedule remaining is keeping them under 50. I do not think NC State has the firepower to keep them under 50, and I do not think NC State can come close to scoring 50.
I like it. I like it. We're both rolling Wake minus 2. Got a few more here. TCU heading to Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State. And, of course, the Cowboys, a 13-point favorite, total of 54.5. TCU won this game 29-22 last year. Oklahoma State 4-1 against the spread at home against TCU in the last 5. And when I look at the numbers here, it's very hard to figure out because I don't know exactly what TCU is after firing Gary Patterson. They really swapped up some stuff last week. They are not running as much on early downs. They went a little more pass heavy. Chandler Morris looks very competent at quarterback. That's not to say that Max Duggan was bad. Obviously, the TCU offense has been pretty good, but also the defense for TCU was able to cause a little bit of havoc. They ran some different stuff. I really thought that this line would be closer to like 7 or 8, and instead it's 13. So you would think that I would roll the other direction, but because it kind of stinks to me, I think I'm going to roll with Oklahoma State. I'm going to take the Cowboys minus 13. Chandler Morris, still a freshman quarterback. Last week was his first start. It was at home. Now he gets to go on the road for the first time. And you know Stillwater is going to be a buzzsaw. So I'm going to take Oklahoma State to shut down that TCU offense and get a pretty big win here. Because I think now that everybody's healthy for Oklahoma State, Gundy's offense has been putting up points lately. So I think they're going to put up points here.
Oklahoma State is the best team in the Big 12. I do not think it is close, by the way. I don't. Ooh. I know a lot of Oklahoma fans aren't going to like hearing that, but that's true. And I think they're going to destroy, systematically take apart TCU. Here's what I think happened. This is how I'm explaining last week with Baylor. And I think this explains it exactly the way it is, exactly the way it happened. And that is simply Baylor was looking forward to Oklahoma. Baylor was looking ahead because TCU looked like a dead fish out of water. And they thought, if we get Oklahoma, it changes our season. And there's no way they could ever envision losing to TCU.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I tend to agree. Those look-aheads, I mean, it's sometimes tough, right? It's tough to not get people fired up about games that are coming up in the future and paying attention to what you're doing. right now, especially with a newer head coach and some fresh faces on the roster. So yeah, I could totally understand it. So you're going to ride Oklahoma State as well, -13 there, and we got a few more. We got some late night games here, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. We are heading over to Nevada at San Diego State. I love this game. San Diego State is a 3-point favorite, total of 45.5. Nevada won last year 26-21. Nevada 3-0 straight up and against the spread the last three seasons against San Diego State. And you start diving into this. Nevada's defense is not good. But San Diego State has trouble scoring against air. Like, they're not good on offense. They need the other team to make mistakes and give them short fields and whatnot. And, of course, obviously, San Diego State got the best player on the field with the punter, Matt Areza. Either way, when I look at the defense against Nevada's offense, I do believe San Diego State is going to slow them down. But Nevada has so many different ways to score, and any mistake that San Diego State makes is going to cost them. I'm going to ride with Nevada because I've got a 3-point head start here, but this certainly looks like it's a game that could come down to the wire, and I trust the team that can score over the one that can't. So I'll take the Wolfpack here.
I've been staying on San Diego State all year. It's been pretty good for the most part, and I'm going to stay on them. They find ways to win games. They find ways to manufacture points. And you know, I don't know if they're going to do it through defense. I don't know if they're going to do it through, you know, turnovers or how it's going to come. But I think they find a way to get just enough.
That totally makes sense. I mean, the way that they would be able to do this is, they're number 53 in EPA per rush on offense and number 119 on defense for Nevada in that EPA per rush metric. So there is a sizable mismatch there. There is no mismatch for Nevada's offense against San Diego State's defense. They're good at everything. But I do know that Nevada got the best quarterback on the field. That's the way I'm going to go. Nevada +3. You are rolling San Diego State -3. 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, we have got Utah State and San Jose State. And the reason I'm bringing this up is Nick Starkel came back and started playing last week. I thought that this line would be Utah State -4. And instead, San Jose State came out and was favored by 4. Now they're up to 4.5, total of 57.5. They last met in 2018, so none of that crap really matters, other than the fact that Utah State is 8-0 straight up and 7-1 against the spread in their last 8 against San Jose State. That was before Brent Brennan really got this thing rolling with the Spartans here. With Nick Starkel back and everything else, you would think it would boost me a little bit on San Jose State. But, man, when I look at what Blake Anderson's done, he and Logan Bonner have really turned this thing around. Utah State is 7-2 straight up this year. They are rocking, and I think they're going to continue rocking, even on the road here. San Jose State's got the better defense, but I think Utah State finds ways to score. I'm going to take Utah State plus the 4.5 here. They're not as talented at San Jose State, which is a weird thing to say these days, but I think they're the better football team. So I'm going to take the Aggies.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they got a chance to win this game. I really do. And that would be a massive, massive win for Blake Anderson and Utah State.
They have got
to take the points well.
They've got a shot to win 10 games this year. Like, it blows my mind looking at this, but they have got a shot to do it. They've got the offense to be able to do this. That team is playing well together. They've got a lot of good chemistry. The last game on the board before we get out of here, we have got 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, Washington State. The Cougars headed to Eugene, Oregon to take on the Ducks, and the Ducks are a 14-point favorite, total of 57.5. Last year, Oregon won this game 43-29. Even with losing their coach, even with Rolovich and all those other guys gone, Washington State continues to fight week in and week out. Jake Dickert has done a good job as the interim head coach. Washington State 5-0 against the spread in their last 5 games. They are 5-0 against the spread in their last 5 at Eugene, and they are 9-1 against the spread overall in the last 10 against Oregon. Like, they always show up against the Ducks for whatever reason. You start diving into numbers, it's easy to get sucked into some of this Oregon stuff. But honestly, like, Oregon is just kind of middle of the road, you know, nothing crazy for them. I think Washington State fights. Like, I think they are still in the Pac-12 race. So I will certainly take Washington State plus the 14 here, because I think Oregon just wants to make sure that they are healthy and they get out of town with a win because they got Utah next week. So give me the Cougars plus 14.
I like the Cougars plus 14. I will have some money on the Cougars money line. I think they can win this game. Oregon, just like Oklahoma, they have not been impressive. They have been winning by the hair of the chinny chin chin, and it's just one of those things. At some point in time, one of these teams gonna get up there and get them.
Now, you certainly got that right. You have certainly got that right. You never know what's gonna happen in these Pac-12 games, especially Pac-12 after dark, because again, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time kickoff. So you and I both riding with the Cougars. Is there anything else you want to hit before I let you go and wrap this thing up?
No, that's it, brother.
Sounds like a plan. All right, I will talk to you later on, buddy.
Sir.
All right, that is going to wrap up today's show. Of course, winningcureseverything.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and the YouTube feed, and follow us on Twitter, all that good stuff. You'll hear it all in the music at the end of the show. Go and check out the SBR College Football Show. Chris hosts that. There's links in the description for it. I host the BetUS College Football Show. Go check those out. The show is brought to you by BetUS, where the game begins. It is America's top sports book. So go ahead and check them out. Use the promo code NCAAF2021. It's going to get you 125% deposit bonus up to $2,500. I am so ready for this weekend. It's going to be a fantastic time. A lot of fun games. Not too many of these weekends left in the season. So take advantage of watching football while you can. With that said, do us a favor. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.